Hannah, that is your ring. She said a while ago, that may be mine. I don't know what happened to it. Well, I want to say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I don't know if anybody else needed the camp meeting, but from the testimonies, I know you've been blessed and been encouraged. But I needed it. It's been a eventful last year, and God has a way of working miracles in our lives and doing things in our lives that we may not like and we may not understand and they may not be comfortable to us, but I've said this to my wife many times, laying in bed, said it on my knees many times, crying before the Lord. Many years I've preached, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And I promise you, if you live in the Christian walk long enough, you have to live that out. That becomes not just a scripture we read, not just a scripture we quote, but it does us good in our lives when it becomes a reality. That we have to put our faith back in God and realize that God loves us. If we love Him, He's working all things for our good. To those that are called, and that's the key, called according to His purpose. Over the last year, we stepped out of the ministry we were in and just began to trust God where He may put us. God has let us set for a little bit and work some things in our lives that created faith. I said to my dad this week, I said, it's been unique how God has worked, because I said, I've been in ministry, been a part of ministry, and been blessed to be a part of some healthy ministries for years. And always made a good living and made good money. And I said, then I exercise faith a little bit. But then God's put me in a place where I've had to exercise faith a lot. And I'm telling you, it's done some great things in my spirit, in my heart, and in my humility. God has taught me, hey, you quit relying on what you thought was your gifts and talents. And rely on me, I can use you more. And I want you to understand that God has to break us before He can bless us. And that's been a hard lesson to learn, but I can stand here before you today and honestly say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And boy, this week has been good for me. Just, I tell you, I never got to hear Brother Dean and some of these other guys, but man, how I've been encouraged through the Word. And my heart has been revived and been lifted up in heavenly places. I want to echo what other guys have said, and I said this earlier before I ever got here, through a post that I put on Facebook. When I got them cards in the mail, they were timely. They were encouraging. They were a blessing to this preacher, and I know they was to everybody else, but when those started coming in and people saying, man, we've been praying for you, we've been asking God to touch you, you don't know what that means to a man of God. That's not just cliche when they ask you to send that stuff and do those things. That's priceless. And I want to say to you children, listen, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to those that's working with the children, teaching them to do those things and pray over the preachers and the men of God. And I want to say this too. I have pastored where we ran camp meetings, and I want to echo what Dad said to this church. Church, thank you for your labor. Thank you so much. I said this to Brother Ryan back there a while ago. I asked him, I said, how you doing? How you feeling? Because he's put in a lot of work preparing songs and leading, singing, and the band. And he said, hey, I'm spiritually lifted, but I'm tired. I said, you'll know really tomorrow how tired you are. But I do. I want to say thank you for what you do. We've been to this meeting several times, and you guys are top-notch. You do it first class, and I want to thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you go to 2 Kings chapter 19? 2 Kings chapter 19. I also want to thank you for your prayers over our thyroid lump that we had. And praise God, it's coming back. It's came back that it was benign and nothing cancerous there. But you pray that God will show us what needs to be done now and how to take it. I'm going to preach till I get hoarse, all right? Is that all right? I don't intend to preach long. I listened to these guys as I was driving in Thursday night. Then when I got here Friday, and I thought, man, are they going to leave anything for any of us to preach? But boy, it's been good. Amen. Been good. 2 Kings chapter 19. When you find your place, would you say amen? Amen. Let's begin reading in verse number 14. Would you stand in reverence to God's word this morning? 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 14, said, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, and here's what he said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims. I love that. Amen. He said, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, and open thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which sent him to reproach the living God. Oh, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and they have cast their gods into the fire. And I love this right here. They were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand. And I love this right here. Save us that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And for time's sake, I want you to flip over to verse 35. And I want you to notice the first few words of that verse. It came to pass that night. I want to preach for just a little bit of time this morning out of this passage of Scripture, getting a hold of God. I want to focus on how that Hezekiah had an issue and he touched God. And can I tell you today, for just a second, I want to set this up for you. We need some people in the house of God today that know how to do more than just pray. We're living in a day and time. We're living in a period of time that it's more vital now than ever that somebody learn how to touch heaven. And I want to preach that for just a little bit. Touching heaven and getting a hold of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. God, I don't take for granted this time you've given me this morning. Father, we're living in critical days and critical times. God, I didn't come this morning to just go through a motion and just get to preach for my dad and just get to be a part of a camp meeting. God, I want to be anointed this morning and I want to help your people through your word. God, I know me better than anybody. I'm nothing. But if you would use us this morning, we would appreciate your anointing, your power upon us. For God, we have no ability to change anyone's life. We have not the gift, God, through words and God, through our intellect, God, to move anyone to a decision. But Father, if your Holy Spirit right now would begin to work, begin to move, and begin to challenge, God, as we speak to the ear, would you speak to the heart? God, we'll lift you up, we'll exalt you, for you promise if we do so, you'll draw all men unto you. Thank you, God, for this church. This is a special place to us, and we love it. We appreciate the men of God that we've met here, the friends we've made here. God, the memories, Lord, that we have in this place as well, and the things you've done in our heart over the years through this camp meeting, we thank you for. God, we pray a special blessing upon this church and upon this place and these people. Bless us now, we pray, and feed us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. King Hezekiah gets a word from a messenger that begins to concern him. When we look at this passage of Scripture, and I didn't read all the chapter for time's sake, and I don't want to insult your intelligence. You can read, and don't read while I'm preaching, amen. But you can read this story, and many of you probably read the story and heard the story if you're a Bible student. But if you look back at verse 10, you see that there's some antagonizing going on. There is some bullying, if you would, going on from the messengers and the king, and they're trying to intimidate Hezekiah and his people. when you look at verse number 10, you see that he says, hey, now I know you have a faith in a God. But he says, I want you to understand that we have destroyed other nations who had their gods and believed in their God. And look what he says. He says, let not thy God in whom thou trust deceive thee. Boy, I'm telling you, aren't we living in that day right there? Where the enemy is trying to tell us, hey, don't let your God deceive. Listen, I know there's been days of revival, and I know there's been days that God's moved in your life, but don't be deceived. We're living in a different day and a different time is what the devil tries to tell us. And he tries to tell us, hey, I've taken down bigger churches, and I've taken down bigger pastors, and I've taken down bigger men of gods, and I've destroyed greater families, and I've destroyed greater ministries, and I've done big. Don't let your God deceive you. He's not going to help you through this one. And the enemy is trying to antagonize Hezekiah, and he says in verse 11, are you really, you think you're going to be delivered? And now this letter comes to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah begins to read, and I read those to you because here's what I want you to see. Hezekiah is reading the letter, and I want you to picture this. As Hezekiah is reading this letter, you can see right here from what's being said in verse 10, 11, and 12 that what's going on in this letter is he's trying to intimidate him. He's trying to belittle him. He is saying things like, hey, look at the gods that we have destroyed. Look at the kings that we have wiped out. Look at the nations who had better power and better money and better strength and had better servants and better armies that we have totally wiped out. And you come to verse 13 and he says, where are these kings? And he begins to list a few. And I don't know if that means anything to you, but as I was personally studying myself, I tried to go back and look up some of these and research and listen, they were well-known warriors. They were well-known for their money, their wealth, their leadership. And he's trying to intimidate Hezekiah. And Dad, here's what God showed me. That's exactly the way the enemy is trying to work in this day and time today. Listen, I said to my dad, I believe it was last night, it may have been this morning even early, that we were talking about, I think it was in his office a while ago, we were talking about some men that have their wives, and them have split up, and their ministries have been destroyed, and we were talking about, I said to my dad, I said, man, one thing God has done in my heart is to love that woman that God's given me more than I've ever loved her, to focus on her more than I've ever focused, and here's why. I've had some mentors over the last several years that have fallen out and aren't in the ministry anymore, and guys that I loved and guys that I grew up watching and guys that I admired, and I want to be honest, the devil has looked at times in my life and said, hey, I got them. Don't think I can't get you. And I listen, it may not be your marriage, it may not be your finances, but there is something that the devil tries to come against us with and play against us on and work in us to cause our faith to be weakened and cause us, listen, to be intimidated, antagonized, and weary in the well-doing. And what's going on here in Hezekiah's life is he is being thrown some things that is causing his mind to listen. Brother Dean dealt with this. Fact. He looks at that and says, that's a fact. They did wipe that king out. That kingdom did have great money. That kingdom did have great warriors. And he did wipe them out. And listen, the fact says, man, if he done that to them, I don't have that kind of money. I don't have that kind of army. I don't have that kind of leadership. If he got them, the facts do say, I'm probably in trouble. And that's where the devil tries to get us and play with us. But look what Hezekiah does. Man, he takes the letter, and I want to get deeper into this here in just a second, but he takes the letter, he reads it, and he begins to emphasize on some things. He says, man, God, they did take their gods, and they did break their gods, and they did throw their gods in the fire. But I love this right here. He said, oh God, but their gods were man-created gods. God. Their gods were gods that they made with their own hands and with their own. And listen to me, I'm telling you today, that's the problem in our society today. It's where we got our eyes and where we got our focus and where we got our trust and where we've got our faith. Our faith is in our abilities and what we've created and what we've done for ourselves. And listen to me, that's why we're getting our results in the house of God today. That's why we're going through. Listen. I looked up here a while ago, and Peyton, man, it blesses me when I watch you play guitar. I remember, Brother Steve, I remember coming here when he was a little squirt. And he didn't, listen, he'd get up there, but he wasn't doing nothing big. But I'm driving Thursday night in, and I've got the live stream on, and I'm crying like a baby. Peyton, listening to you. Because I can hear you picking the fire out of that guitar. And listen, it may have been a sentimental moment because I love that boy and his family with all my heart. But my boy's down in Oklahoma this week. And I thought, man, that dude can eat a guitar up now too. And I remember when these kids started, mine plays one upside down. And I thought, poor kid. But now, listen, now, and I'm looking at these things and I'm thinking, you say, what are you getting at, brothers? We've got more talent on the stage nowadays than we've ever had. We can take our phones and get more information than some of you have ever had available in your life. Some of you had to go to the library and have a library card to get books out to read to find out information. Listen, nowadays, in a moment, second, we can pull up anything and get the information. We've got more education, we've got more talent, we've got more gifts, but listen, we've got less results in the house of God than they used to have in the days past. And I look and I see what Hezekiah, he's saying, man, they had their gods, their fake gods, their false gods, their fairy tale gods. And if you notice, I love the King James for this reason. It makes it with a little G. Man-made little false fairy tale fake gods. He said, oh God, they did destroy their gods, but they were made with your hand. But Hezekiah, listen, he says, I'm going to touch God and see what God can do. When I thought about this message, one of my preacher men that I love to read on, and I love to read his stories, and I love to hear some of the things, and I even go back at times when I got time, I'll go back and listen to some of his messages that I can find, is Brother Mays Jackson. Brother Mays was a mighty man of God. I never knew Brother Mays, never got to know him personally, but I know Dr. Joe Arthur very well, and Dr. Joe knew Brother Mays very well, and Brother Joe and I get to talk once in a while, and Joe says, oh, listen, he was an anointed man of God. The things he tells you are rights and has written and stories he's told, they're legit. And Mays Jackson tells this story right here. He said, I was preaching in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he said, I'll never forget that time that God done something for me that I never got over. He told this story. He said, I was standing in the back of the tent, as we all do, and if you've ever been to camp, you've watched it, you know, the preacher gets done preaching, he goes to the back and you shake his hand. He said, I'm in the back and people's coming through, God bless you, I pray. And he said, here comes this one little lady. And he said, this little lady grips my hand and she says to me, preacher, I've got a lost boy. If you could tonight before you go to bed. And he said, the next phrase he said, I never got over. She said, before you go to bed tonight, he's lost on his way to hell. And she said, would you touch heaven for my boy? He said, soon as she said that, it pierced my heart. He said, it gripped me like nothing had ever gripped me. He said, I could not go out and eat that night. I could not go back to my room and just get down beside the chair. He said, I didn't kneel beside the bed. He said, that gripped me so hard that night in my heart that I went back to my room. And he said, I literally laid out in the floor. And he said, I got on the floor before God and I didn't know what to say and I didn't know how to pray. And he said, listen, I preached all over America, but I didn't that night know what to ask of God. But he said, I laid there and he said, here's what I said. God, I don't even know what, he said, I've never heard that term in my life before. He said, I said to God, God, I don't know what that means. But if you would let me touch heaven for that boy tonight, I would love to have the opportunity to touch heaven for that lady's son. And he said, I laid there and I wept and I cried And all I asked was, God, let me touch heaven. Let me touch heaven. He said 3 months later, I'm preaching in Greensboro or preaching in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He said, here I'm standing in the back and here comes a lady. And he said, at first I didn't recognize her, but then I recognized who it was. And he said, she's got a boy walking beside her, got him a nice haircut, got him a suit on, got a Bible tucked up under his arm. And said, she looked at me and said, Brother Mays, do you remember 3 months ago back in Greensboro when I asked you to touch heaven for my boy? She said, that's my boy. This is him right here. He's been saved. God's working in him. Man, he loves that book. He's studying that book. He's reading that book. And Brother Mays went on and developed a message. Somebody touch heaven for me. And he talked about how that there was people in the Word of God that touched heaven. How Abraham touched heaven for his nephew Lot. He talked about how Paul and Silas touched heaven for the church. He talked about how Jesus touched heaven for you and I. And he preached that message till he died about some. But he said, I'll never forget when that term was spoken in my ears. I could not get past what it meant to touch heaven. Some of us are sitting here tonight or this morning because somebody touched heaven for us. See, what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help, grace to help in time of need. I'm thankful for the doctrine of intercessory prayer, aren't you? There's some things that I want to point out to you today. I want you to notice what he says. He says in this passage of Scripture as he's praying, he says in verse 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and open thine eyes and see and hear. Aren't you thankful? That's the kind of God we serve this morning. I'm thankful I serve an alive, an available, an accessible God. I'm glad I serve the Almighty God. I'm glad I serve a God who can hear me, a God that can see me, a God whose hand is not shortened that He cannot reach. His eyes are not dim to where He cannot see. His ear is not heavy where He cannot hear. I'm thankful I serve a risen Savior this morning. I want you to notice three things this morning if you're taking notes. Number one, I want you to notice the burden of His prayer. What caused Him to get desperate? What caused Hezekiah to get hungry? What caused him to get serious and start seeking God to do something? Hezekiah realized he was no match for the enemy in his own ability. Can I tell you when the church is truly going to experience revival? When we realize God's got to get on the scene. Listen, I said it a while ago, but I am in between where God wants me now and where I believe God's going to put me. But my heart's cry and my heart's prayer is I don't want to go through the motions no more. Listen, I, just like you, have the ability to access information and study. And I told my dad the other day, I said, man, I wish I had Brother Dean's mind and had that memory like that and even had my dad's memory. I wish I had his memory. And I look at guys and I think, man, I wish I had those abilities. But listen, all of us have gifts and abilities. All of us have some talents. All of us have things that God... But can I tell you something? That's the problem in our society today. That's what we're leaning on. That's what we're trusting in. That's what we're depending on. Listen, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself this morning too. I have pastored churches that had gifted singers and gifted teachers and gifted ministries and had money and had availability to reach out in our community and had the people, man, that was charismatic in their personalities. And we'd get out and listen, I said this to my dad. I said, man, I can't wait to get back in the ministry because God has blessed me with an awesome wife who we work well together and we've got some great gifts together that God has blessed us with. But listen to me, here's what God showed me. The problem is in our society today, and listen, even in my ministries, I trusted on them too much. When is the last time we realized we have an enemy? Now listen, we say we realize that. We know what John chapter 10 verse 10 tells us. That there's a thief that cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. We know what 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, that we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, we need to be alert and aware because our adversary the devil is as a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And listen, I want you to understand this morning that we say we know the devil is fighting us. But can I tell you something? When are we going to realize that we are no match unless God get on the scene? See, what happens in Hezekiah's life, here's why he gets burdened. He begins to read the letter, and reality sinks in. He begins to look, and listen, I don't think all of his pride was stripped right away. I believe he's reading the letter and he's thinking, I've been a pretty good leader. Got a pretty good kingdom. Got a pretty good army. We've got some pretty good money and artillery and what we need to fight for a little. We've got some things laid up. But then he begins to read. And you look at it there. He begins to read the list. And I said this a while ago, of who's been destroyed. And here's what sunk in. And listen to me. Look up here. You're not going to get burdened like you need to get burdened till you realize your money, your talents, your wisdom, your ways are no match. You're not going to get the burden. Listen, you'll never touch heaven like you need to until the burden lays on you to a place that you realize if God does not get on the scene, it's hopeless. Listen, there are people, there are churches. You've got a good church here, but listen, there's a next level God's got for you. There's another level God wants to take you. There's a group of souls, even as we preach this morning, sitting in this community and in this area, that God's wanting to save and God's wanting to touch and God's wanting to transform their lives and God's wanting to bring them into this church and into this place. But somebody's got to touch heaven that the blinders of the devil be removed from their eyes and they see the need of the gospel in their life. Someone's got to get a hold of God. But listen to me, our music ain't enough. Our teaching ain't enough. Our preaching ain't enough. We've got to get to a place that we say, God, there's a group of people in our community. There's neighbors, friends, relatives, people dying and go to hell that, God, if you don't move and you don't get on the scene and you don't touch, they're going to be ultimately destroyed. Can I tell you what moved Hezekiah? He had a love for his people. He had a love for his family. He had a love for the God he served and the God he worshiped. And he realized that, hey, if God don't show up and God don't intervene, my wisdom, my talents, my army, my gifts are no match for the devil. We're going to be destroyed. My family's going to be wiped out. The God I serve and listen, my freedom of religion is going to be stripped from me. Everything that I've labored for and I've loved is going to be taken by the enemy unless God get on the scene. His burden, listen, his burden overwhelmed his pride. Can I tell you what's got to happen? I say this because, and this ain't easy for me to say, anybody's known me knows, I've been prideful. What God had to do in my life was strip me and break me from confidence in who I was. Listen, I love people. I enjoy people. I feel like I've got a decent personality, unless you live with me every day. I feel like I can connect and communicate with people. And I always thought there'll be somewhere that wants me and needs me. And God said, that may be true. But not until I get you over you is it going to be the ministry it needs to be. Because listen, God knew my heart down deep. Down deep under all that pride was hiding. I don't want the fake. I don't want the pretend. I said this to my mama the other day. I said, I don't care if it's Pentecostal, Southern Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Independent Baptist. I don't care what it is. I want to go be a part of a church that wants the real move of God, power of God, presence of God, and for us to get out of the way and just let God be God through His Word and through His anointing. But listen, the only way that's going to happen in our society today is when people begin to realize there's a nation dying, there's a freedom of religion dying, there's some things dying in our church today that if we don't get burdened for and we don't get heavy for in our hearts and get before God and touch heaven on behalf of it, listen, they're going to be destroyed. Can I tell you something? Brother Brian, I thought about this. I thought, I'm going to keep fighting until the day I die. I believe Mom over there is going to fight. My wife is going to fight till the day she dies. But can I tell you what's become more critical to me than ever? I look up here and I see these little ones. Ryan, your little ones that's growing. Your little one. And then I've got three myself. Can I tell you something? I want them to see God like they've never seen Him. Listen, I don't just say that. I'm being honest. I've sat in churches. Ryan, we grew up in a church down there in Hamburg that the move of God was real, and I've never got over that. That's 20-something, almost 30 years now since I sat in that church. Never got over that because of what I seen God do. I remember God touching and moving and healing. I remember God saving people that were proclaimed atheists. I remember a woman coming up in front of our altar and being prayed for because they said she had cancer and was ate up with it. And she goes back on that week and on a Tuesday, and she comes back Wednesday night, and they couldn't find nothing when they tried to scan her. I remember those things. And listen, I think to myself, man, I know God's alive and well. I know He's real. It's not just something I read in the Bible, but listen, my kids have never seen that. My kids have never experienced that. And I thought to myself, they don't know how to touch heaven like I've been taught how to touch heaven. Oh, not that they're below me, but listen, I've watched people touch heaven. I've watched people get a hold of God. I thought to myself, you know what? It's time that they quit seeing us put... I thank God for the talent He gives us in the churches nowadays. But I think it's time they quit seeing us perform. And they quit seeing us put on. And they quit seeing us spend all of our resources. Listen, nothing wrong with... Don't get me wrong. Don't get up. Listen, don't come to the pastor and say, hey, we got to stop spending our resources. And listen, those things are good. But can I tell you the one thing that matters more than anything is the burden you carry and the way you're praying. And not just praying, but staying until you've touched heaven. See, He was burdened. Listen, this is what He said, I believe. I believe that in His heart, He has a nation that He loves. And He says, God, my nation, my people, my family, my freedom of religion weighs in the balance. If you don't intervene, God, they're doomed. He understood the enemy was there, and He realized that if the enemy had its way and was allowed to fulfill its desire, it wanted to destroy and wipe off the map everything that meant the world to Him. Do you get where I'm going this morning? That's exactly what the thief wants to do. Steal. Kill. Listen, but the ultimate worry is destroy. Brother Ryan, and you got you young preachers that's been out and preached a little bit, you know. I've been out preaching some, and I told my dad this, our churches are a mess. We got churches, listen, and I know we're being live streamed, and I'm not trying to be mean. We've got churches this morning just going through the motions. We've got churches this morning that's powerless, ineffective, nothing's going on, not seeing souls saved, not affecting their community. They're just going through the motions. They're taking up. They're happy that they got a little offering coming in. They're able to keep the lights on. They're able to keep. Listen, but the power of God has left. And I've thought about this several times when I've driven away. My heart breaks, and I think the enemy's sitting back there going, I don't mind if you have a service. I don't mind if you have 25, 50, even 100 people show up, as long as the power is irrelevant in the midst. He gets burdened. Why? He sees what the enemy's wanting to do. And his burden, listen, here it is, drives him to God. And I want you to get a hold of this right here. Here's what happens next. Number two, the basis of his prayer. He's reading this. The burden hits him so hard that he only knows one thing to do. Look here. He takes the letter, tucks it under his arm, and the Bible says he headed up to the house of God. The basis of his prayer. What do you mean, Brother Jason, the basis? Get a hold of this. Anytime you go before God or to the house of God or your feet take a step in God's direction, you're on your way up. I don't care how low you are. I don't care how bleak the situation is. I don't care how desperate you feel right now. Any time you head to God's house, any time you go to where God is, or you're meeting with God, you're on your way up. And the Bible says Hezekiah took the letter and headed up to the house of God. I got tickled the first time I read this. I thought, I can see them thinking, they're probably ready to have a strategy meeting. I mean, here they've got an intimidating letter. I can see his generals and his war leaders and all of them wanting to have a strategy meeting. What are we going to do? And Hezekiah leaves the meeting and takes off, and they're wondering, where are you going? Hey, what are we doing? What? And he goes, boys, I'm going to the house of God. Now, there's some things I want to point out to you this morning from this passage of Scripture I want you to get a hold of. He takes the thing to the house of God. Heads to the house of God. I want you to notice that he was heading up to the house of God. And I believe that he began to claim some scriptures in his life. You say, what do you mean? I believe some. Listen, Brother Dean preached this to us the other day. We got to stand on the truth of God's Word. Amen? It may be bleak. It may be dim in our life. And we may feel like, man, we're at a point of death in our society. But listen, he begins to claim Scripture. I believe that Hezekiah headed to the house of God because I believe in his hearing had been read Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I believe he knew Psalm 122. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house. Can I tell you something? This has become more to me than just an opportunity to get up on Sundays and fulfill my priestly duty in my home just to take my family to church and just to go to church. Listen to me. It's a privilege when we get to go to the house of the Lord. Amen. He understood Psalm 122 that said, I was glad when they said. Why? There's things you'll find in the house of God you won't find anywhere else. I want you to get a hold of a statement he makes that shows the relevance of why he went to the house of God. Notice this. He says, in this passage of Scripture, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, oh, verse number 15, oh Lord of God, Lord God of Israel, notice this, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms. See, there's some things I want you to notice that was going on here in his heart. Hezekiah was the king. Hezekiah had seen some things and heard some things and watched some things in his observation of the men of God and the priests of that time. Hezekiah knew what went on up there in the temple. Hezekiah knew that there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And Hezekiah, even in his worship or in his observation, either one, had seen. Once all the steps took place, and for time's sake this morning, I'm not going to go over all the steps that take place in the temple, but listen, he understood that back there behind the curtain was a place called the Holy of Holies that he was never allowed to go. He was king, but he was not priest. He just had to observe. But listen, he had seen when that cloud fell. He knew what that meant. Here's what he knew. That cloud that came down was the presence of God. And get a hold of this. He knew it was God on the scene. Now listen to me. He says, I call unto you God, the God that sits between the cherubims. See, back in that Holy of Holies was a golden box. And in that golden box, if you study the Word of God and you study the temple, you know, on the golden box was the Holy of Holies. You had the golden box. You had the mercy seat. And beside, on the mercy seat, beside the mercy seat, there was two cherubims. And in between them two cherubims, they would come and place the blood. And after all the works was done, you've got the mercy, you've got the grace, you've got the presence of God. And listen, they would put the blood And after it was all done right, the Shekinah. I like Brother Joe Arthur. He said, back in the mountains, they call it the Shekinah. He said, that Shekinah glory shows up. And listen, the king had seen that. But I want you to get a hold of something this morning. He goes to the temple. And this had, I've read this, I've preached this, but it never gripped me like when I was driving this week and I got a hold of it. I preached it and hadn't even got a hold of it. Dad, think about this. I've even said this. He was king, but he wasn't priest. His heart is heavy. His heart is overwhelmed. But listen to me. He could only go to the outer court's altar and lay it there. Now listen, he knew that's where the presence of God showed up. He knew that's where the mercy seat sat. He knew that's where the blood was applied. But listen to me, he was only a king. Let this sink in this morning. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Jason? Listen, he couldn't go back here and do the works. It was nighttime. I don't believe any of this is put there for coincidence. Follow me a second. It was nighttime. He had a burden that was going to cause him to stay awake, probably. He had a burden that was weighing so heavy on him. He was sick in his stomach. He was burdened. He was heavy with it. He was labored down with it. It was eating his lunch, if you would. He was consumed with it. But listen to me. He could only go nigh. He could not go in. Follow me a second. You say, Brother Jason, what's better than nigh? Listen. He could not take. This represents his burden. This represents his broken heart. This represents the heaviness. He could not take it back here and go through into the Holy of Holies and apply the presence of God. Apply the blood. All he could do was go out here to the edge and cry for God. He could not go in here and get the blood and get all the works done so that the presence of God showed up. All he could do was go right here to the outer and hope that God would get on the scene. Now follow me. You say, Brother Jason, what's better than nigh? In. Listen to me. When I got to thinking about this, he was wanting the presence, the mercy, the blood, all to move on behalf of his need, but he could only come nigh. I want you to go with me to Revelation this morning, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And they sung a new song, verse number 9. Saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Listen, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed. Who's singing this song? The saints. Thou hast redeemed us in verse number 9 of chapter 5. For Thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by what? Thy blood, out of every kindred, out of every tongue and people and nation. Notice verse 10. And hast made unto our God kings and what? Priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Look up here, and I'm almost done. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and you really wish God get on the scene for you. Some of you need God to change your family. Some of you need God to change your finances. Some of you need God to change your fear. Some of you need God to do some things in your... Listen, some of you would just like to see revival really break out. Listen, not just, there's nothing better than one or two souls. But can you imagine that going on every week, every service, every time you come in the house of God? Man, I seen that growing up as a kid. I remember we couldn't wait to get to church to see who God was going to save next. Can you, listen, I was a teenage boy. Had a lot of interest, a lot of things going. But I remember that excitement in my own life of who's God going to save now? Who's going to bring their family now and get them in church? And God, they just think they're coming to serve. God's going to get a hold of them. I remember thinking that as a kid. Can you imagine going living in that day and time now? It can still happen. Who's going to get burdened to the place they want to see God show up like that? Now get a hold of this. He was only a king. He wasn't a priest. You and I, we're kings. I'm about to get blessed by my own preaching, bless God. Not because I'm preaching it, but the Word of God is becoming alive right here. Listen, we are made kings and priests. When I got this, it blessed me. It blessed me the other night sitting over there. I was sitting over there listening to Brother Dean, and he's talking about the Word and the living Word and the spoken Word or the written Word and the living Word. And he's talking about this and he's talking about taking the Word of God and standing on it literally. And man, that came to me and I began to think on my message about we are priests. And man, God began to move on me because there's some things I need God to do. There's some things I'm asking God to do. There's some things I'm believing God to do. But here's the difference. Listen, I don't have to just take him right here. He had to lay him there, go home, and try to go back to bed and find some peace. Listen to me. Because I've been made a king and priest through the blood of Jesus Christ, I can take my burdens. I can go right back here. I can enter into where the presence of God shows up. I can boldly approach the throne. I can boldly come before God. I can boldly claim the blood. I can boldly lay the sacrifice on the altar. And I boldly can say, God, I claim your mercy. I claim your grace. I claim the blood. And listen, I can go into the Holy of Holies. What does that represent, Brother Jason? I can go into the presence of God and stay there until God shows up. Notice this. Why did I read verse 35 to you in that chapter? He goes home that night, and he don't have the access you and I have. But that night, the angel of the Lord showed up, and dead corpses are laying everywhere when he wakes up the next morning. The angel of the Lord got on the scene. Why? Because he got burdened. He understood the basis of who he was talking to. And listen, here was his heart. His heart was not, God, would you show up on the scene so that I will be known as the most powerful king, that my kingdom will get some recognition, that we'll finally get some respect around this. That wasn't his heart. You don't find in that prayer any I. He said, God, would you show up on the scene that the one true, holy, living, only God be glorified? Can I tell you what God wants to do? God wants His name to be magnified. God wants His power to be seen. God wants His abilities to be recognized in our day and our time. Listen, and all God wants is some conduit to run it through. Can I give you some hope today? God wants to bless you. God wants to do a miracle in your life. God wants to pour out some things in this church and this community and this society. Why? Not for Oak Lane, for people to look around and say, man, Oak Lane's finally had a breakthrough and Oak Lane's finally getting God on. Listen, God wants to do it so that people say, man, only God could do that. God wants to do it so His name be honored and glorified. You look. Hezekiah says, God, would you get on the scene that all the nations of the world may know that thou art the one true living God? I've been praying this more in my life than I ever prayed. And I'm not, listen, I'm nobody. Those of you who've been around me, know me, you could shout amen right there. It might be the best one I got. I am nobody. But my prayer has been, God, I don't care if it's 5 people, 50 people, 500 people. I just want to go somewhere where I can just be conduit. That's all I want to be. I can care less. Listen, I used to be the one. I wanted them to know who I was. I wanted them to understand. I love being Mike Hutzel's son. But I wanted to make my own name. I wanted to have some great things happen in my life and my ministry so people know who I was. Can I tell you something? I want success and I want God to bless. Brother Jim, I can care less now if anybody ever goes away and knows who Jason is. I really can. I mean that with all my heart. I don't care if anybody leaves coming in my church and going out and says, boy, that Jason Hutzel's a guy. Man, he's great. That don't matter to me. You know what I do want him to come in and leave saying? That place has a presence, the power, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is upon it. What a God is lifted up in that place. Me and my wife have been praying that. We've been seeking God for that. That God, wherever you put us, may it be a place as hungry as we are for the move, power, and presence. Why? I'm not worried about the numbers. I'm worried about the power. I got a little boy right there, a little girl over here, and one in Oklahoma this morning, that I want them to live under and see the presence of God. I know God's going to put more friends and more people in our lives that we're going to make great memories with. You know what I want them to see more than who we are and our friendship? I want them to experience God in a way that they'll never get over. Listen, I don't know how long God's got before He's coming back, but I sure believe there's another chance for revival. And I want you to get a hold of this in closing. You can close your Bibles. I'm done. If He could get that kind of move, and He could only go nigh. Listen, I don't say this because I want it to be a cliche statement. I really want you to think about this. I've preached this message a couple times now in different places I've got to preach. I now work for FedEx, and I drive a truck about 10 to 12 hours a day for FedEx, hopping in and out of the truck and delivering packages. And I got a lot of windshield time, too. So I thank a lot. Brother Ryan, this message has been on my heart a lot that I've preached to myself several times. My poor wife and family is probably tired of hearing it. But I think about this message a lot. And here's the thought that goes through my mind. If Hezekiah could really get that kind of results, Dad, and all he could do was go nigh, what can you and I and us people of God do that can go that are kings and priests? What can we do that can go in? If we really got a burden and we really understood the basis of who we're praying to, what could you and I do in this day and time if we touched heaven? Listen, I'm not trying to just preach another sermon. When God gave me this, I committed, God, if you open up and I feel the liberty as I pray and seek, I don't just take it and say, this is what I'm preaching. I didn't do that here. I had other messages that I wanted to preach, and God confirmed to me sitting over there Friday night, I want you to preach it. I don't preach it just because it's spoken to me, but listen, I believe we can touch heaven if we get a burden. I believe we can touch heaven and unleash heaven if we understand who we're talking to. You know, I thought about this the other day as I was riding in my truck and driving. I thought, Hezekiah had seen that glory show up and some great things happen. He had seen the power of God. He had seen God help His people. He had seen God deliver. He had heard the stories of God's works. Can I tell you something? I want my kids, your kids, my church, your community, my friends, your friends. I want them to do more than just hear about the old time stories. I want to live in a day where we can see the unleashing power of God because of who He is. I want to ask you to stand all over the house today. While the pianist comes, and I want to quote just a few scriptures while they're coming. Jeremiah says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. But I love this part right here. I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to think about this. Are there some things worth touching heaven? Dad, Mom, let me ask you, is your family worth it? Mine is. I still love America. I still love the freedoms we have here. Is our nation worth it? Mine is. I love the religious freedoms we got. Brother Ryan said it a while ago, people think we're nuts, probably, having been here all week. spending the hours that we've spent here at church day and night. I don't know about you, I love those freedoms. I love the fact that I have a Word of God I can pick up anytime. I love the fact that I can pray anytime. Morning, day, night, noon. Anytime I want to talk to God, I have that freedom. Is it worth fighting for? Absolutely. I got some relatives. It's worth fighting for. I got some friends. It's worth touching heaven for. I look around this room this morning and I don't get to be around y'all a lot, but I've got some good friends in this place. Your children aren't my children, but I love children. Always have, always will. I want to touch heaven. Listen, even though I may not get to sit in every service with you, I'd like to touch heaven for y'all so that your children can see God move. I'd like for you to touch heaven for me so that my children can see God move. There's some things worth getting burdened and touching heaven for. I want to ask you this morning, let's touch heaven. I want to challenge you this morning, let's get a hold of God and see what God can do. Let's get past the surface prayer and let's seek God till we know we've touched Him. Let's push back from the table if we have to. Let's push back from our pleasures and let's get serious with God again till God get on the scene. Let's go past just the routine of, man, I prayed this week, Brother Jason, for our church. I prayed for Pastor Mike. I prayed for the ministry here at Oak Lane. I pray. Listen, can you find some time to touch heaven? Can you lay aside some of your pleasures till you've got a hold of heaven? Till your focus has changed, till God, listen, we need it in our day and time. Why? Because if God don't show up, we're doomed. If God don't show up, you've got some friends, some family, you've got some situations that if God don't show up, they're bleak. You've got some family going to hell if God don't get a hold of them. Maybe it's children, maybe it's grandchildren, maybe it's a brother, a sister, an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, somebody. I challenge you this morning. Father, we've tried to be faithful to do what You've called us to do. We ask You, God, help us touch heaven. Help us, God, to take the word we've heard today and it be more than just a sermon that we hear again in a camp meeting. But may it be seed that roots in our heart. God, that'll do something great for us, Your people. Father, have Your way now as Brother Ryan and them sing a song of invitation, and God, You speak to hearts. Move as only You can, and we'll give You thanks and praise. If you need to come this morning, if you want to pray, maybe you have a burden that you want to try to touch heaven for. Hey, it's a process of seeking God till you're broken through. Seeking God till you break through. Laying before God if you have to, till you know you've touched Him. And He confirms in your heart He's going to touch the knee. Won't you listen this morning to the Holy Spirit? Let God do something in your heart this morning. Let God move this morning. Well, they just play softly this morning. Won't you get a burden? If you don't have a burden, listen, ask God to give you one. That's where you start. Ask God to give you one. Pray to you.